and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a terrific Thursday right now. Really nice weather down here in Florida, actually. It rained a lot, actually, all day yesterday, but brought in a real nice cool front. So we're looking at some real nice weather coming in the weekend. So enough of the Florida forecast. How are you doing today, Dan?
I'm doing great. I got to issue one little quick adjustment on yesterday's show. I had quoted a guy by the name of Gordon Duff. And I've been kind of iffy with him. I even told you yesterday, I haven't vetted this article. And I contacted Alexandra Bruce today, and she doesn't care for the guy. And a couple other people I've spoken to don't care for him. And they believe that he might be some type of shill. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you what they told me. So it's one of those deals that just take that portion of that show that we did yesterday with a grain of salt and realize that he might be writing for the CIA. And yeah, I did say that. And so we got to watch out for that guy a little bit. Now, the other guy, Preston James, I like him. I've not heard anything about him on that particular topic. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there. They run with aliases, and they basically are on payroll with the CIA. There's thousands of people that are like that globally around the world. In fact, the one German broadcaster who was found dead a few weeks ago, it's funny how they always are found dead. He could come out a couple of years ago and said the entire German news media was run by the United States CIA. And then he basically announced that on national TV and then, of course, was promptly terminated. And now he was found dead less than 2 years later. I reported on that a few weeks ago. So it's one of those deals that, you know, we're being fed information. It's like the one story we covered yesterday where they said that our job is to make sure that we tell you what you're supposed to hear and what you're supposed to believe. See, and this is the thing that they've done now through Edward Bernays. Now, one of the things that we've been doing for years, we've been believing that if you say anything, let me just be quite frank with everybody here today, like I'm not frank every day. You know, if I say something about Russia, no one calls me an anti-Russian. If I say something about Israel, no one says, you know, well, yeah, I used to do. If you say something about Israel, you're an anti-Semite. I'm sorry about that. I messed up on that one. Anything you say about Israel, you're an anti-Semite. If you say anything about Germany, they don't say anything. In fact, it's such a joke as far as that is concerned that I remember Seinfeld did a show on, you know, anti-Semitism with his father-in-law. And he said that, you know, because the guy was saying, you're an anti-Semite. It was a Seinfeld joke from like 20 years ago. And I laughed about it when I saw it because it's true. Because we've been so programmed by the Scofield Bible and by the conservatives and by the, how should I say this, the neoconservatives in Washington to believe that anytime you say anything against Israel, you become an anti-Semite is simply ridiculous. I mean, so that means that Israel gets a pass. They get to do whatever they want to do. They get to bomb as many people in the Palestinian hospitals or shoot as many people as they want, and that's all okay because they're Israel. Well, here's the thing. I believe that we should pray for Israel, and I've mentioned this many times, and I do pray for Israel. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I do all the time. But we have to understand this, is that, you know, Tel Aviv is the number one homosexual destination in the world. And so we have to realize that this is not a Christian government in that country. Now, if you want to love Israel and pray for Israel, I'm good with that. I have no problem with that. And same thing, if you want to pray and love Germany or pray and love China or pray and love Russia or pray and love Argentina, I don't really care. I mean, whatever you want to do. But guys, we have to say that this is an unfair deal that's going on with Israel because we're not allowed to say anything if they do something wrong. If the Mossad gets involved and we believe that they were involved and a lot of other people believe they were involved in 9/11, we can't talk about that or we're an anti-Semite. And now Chuck Baldwin has said a lot of stuff about Israel. I'm not necessarily in agreement with every single thing that Chuck Baldwin says, but I agree with a lot of what he says. Now I'm going to read you his latest article that just came out today because he wrote an article about Benjamin Netanyahu a few weeks ago and just got eviscerated by another columnist on News with Views. And the sad part about this is that Benjamin Netanyahu is basically a war criminal and he's corrupt. Now, a lot of people believe that because he's the president or prime minister of Israel, because it's Israel, he gets a pass. Well, he doesn't get a pass, not on this show. So here's the thing about this. I know Benjamin Netanyahu. I had dinner with him. The whole time he was at dinner with us, he was trying to get the people who were at dinner with him to invest in the semiconductor industry out of Israel, which I thought was interesting. He was very personable. He was very gregarious. He was actually very nice, unlike Henry Kissinger, who was just weird. I mean, weird, okay? But Benjamin Netanyahu is a politician, so he was coming across as being very gregarious, very nice to us. Now, we know that he's a globalist. We know all of that stuff. But here's a couple of things that I gotta share with you out of Chuck Baldwin's article he wrote today. And he said, this is the name of the article. You can go look it up at his website. It says, two reports many Christians and conservatives won't want to read. Now, here's what he said. In this column 2 weeks ago, I asked the question, is Netanyahu finished? I said, Benjamin Netanyahu is one of the most corrupt political leaders on the planet. He's also one of the most heavily financed political leaders on the planet. In spite of his billionaire friends and supporters, however, he's facing almost certain political destruction. His many crimes are being intensely investigated by the Israeli authorities. The only reason he hasn't been removed from office already is due to the immense political and financial support he has from bankers, casino owners, and land developers from other countries, especially in the United States. But it is doubtful that Benjamin Netanyahu will be able to tread water much longer. It appears that his political demise is inevitable, and you haven't heard a word about it from the controlled mainstream U.S. media. Not a word. The men who own the media are among Bibi's largest contributors. Neither have you heard anything about it from the so-called conservative politicians, publications, periodicals, and websites. There is one common denominator that links the mainstream media with the so-called conservative media, and that is the infatuation with the modern state of Israel. So he got skewered by a rabbi who wrote back against him. When the rabbi wrote a pretty good article, but didn't really cover any of the points that Chuck was trying to cover. Now, here's what he said about this is going on, and he also says that, you know, right now in the Jerusalem Post, it says, there's an article he quotes, and he says, the report continues, though nothing will happen before these two processes mature, the political system is already swarming with calculations, scenarios, and theories concerning what might unfold should the investigations piling up around Netanyahu lead him to resign. So what they're saying is that he's being investigated in the Jerusalem Post, and as corruption investigations pile up, these are all quotes from the Jerusalem Post, and Benjamin Netanyahu's potential early departure is likely to produce an early election with unpredictable results. This is the Jerusalem Post talking like this. But it's kind of interesting. You can read the whole article if you want about this. But there's something else that I want to read you that Chuck released today that I've not heard on any other conservative talk show, and that's about Jared Kushner. Now, I'm quoting again from Chuck. Jared Kushner is Donald Trump's son-in-law. Now, I'm fixing to give you some information that you're not going to like about any of this. And it bothers me immensely. And you're not going to like this. I don't like this. In several previous columns, I have tried to warn people about Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, writes Baldwin. Continuing to go, he says, after being elected president, Mr. Trump elevated Jared to the position of personal presidential advisor. In practicality, every photograph we see of President Trump in the Oval Office, Jared is standing directly behind him, and Jared might be the most influential advisor Trump has. Of course, Jared is a radical Zionist who comes from one of Israelis and America's most influential and most corrupt Zionist families. Jared's father even served time in prison for corruption. Well, now we learn that Jared Kushner, now guys, listen to this, and the entire Kushner clan are financial partners with George Soros.
You heard that? Oh, gosh.
No, I'm sure you haven't read this from the mainstream media, but this is the fact. According to the Jewish Business News, it turns out that George Soros is the money behind a new real estate venture called Cadre, which was founded by Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and his brother, Joshua Kushner. The real deal has uncovered that the fact that George Soros was the man who provided Cadre, Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, with a $259 million line of credit. Soros did. A source told the publication, Soros had a long and productive relationship with the Kushner family. So here we go. Yes, the supposed enemy of Donald Trump, George Soros, is a major financial partner and backer of fellow Zionist Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law. Whether Soros is a real enemy of Donald Trump or whether the American people are being played by both Soros and Trump is hard to know right now. But we know that Soros is a real enemy of freedom. And now we also know that Soros and Kushner, Donald Trump's personal advisor and son-in-law, are financially joined at the hip. Chuck Baldwin goes on to say, follow the money, folks, follow the money. Insiders say that there is an internal battle going on right now within the U.S. intelligence communities between those loyal to the CIA and the Israeli Mossad and those loyal to the President Trump. But if Trump is truly going to stand four square against these dark evil forces, he'll first have to stand against his own son-in-law, Jared Kushner, partners of George Soros. And if that was going to be the case, why did Trump give Kushner such a powerful position in his government in the first place? Along with many CFR globalists that Trump has placed in administration, Jared Kushner might prove to be Trump's undoing. The enemy is always most effective within the camp. Remembering the Greeks' Trojan horse is relevant. And for those of you who understand that one of the biggest reasons why nothing changes no matter who is elected president, it is because of the numerous consular and foreign relations members that the presidents of both parties place in their administrations. These are all globalists, by selecting Army Lieutenant Herbert Raymond McMaster as National Security Advisor. Mr. Trump is up to the CFR number 22, and he follows through with what he said he will do by appointing John Bolton to the administration and be CFR number 23. I mean, to Trump's credit, and Goodson Ball was on to say, his first Supreme Court nominee may be pretty good. So I wanted to bring this up to you guys because I like Chuck Baldwin. He's a friend of mine. I want to make that very clear. I don't agree with everything Chuck says, but I agree with most of it. And a few months ago, I talked to Chuck about what was going on and how he was being basically eviscerated for his views on News with Views concerning the unbridled affection that we have with Israel in the United States and how Israel can do nothing wrong. And I'm going to say this again, and I've mentioned this many times on our show. I'm going to say it. I said it earlier today. I pray for Israel and I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Israel is a communist country. It's what it is. It's just, that's what it is. Look it up. Okay. It has basically been put there in place by the Rothschild banking cartel. Rothschild banking cartel are the ones that have funded and have basically financed George Soros. The Rothschilds basically have Israel as their own fiefdom, as their own little principality. George Soros is one of their beneficiaries. They use him as a cutout to do what they want to have done without having to use their name in the middle of all of this. This is how they've always operated. The same thing with J.P. Morgan 100 years ago, with the passage, over 100 years ago now, with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. This is what they do. John Wilkes Booth, the man who assassinated Abraham Lincoln, was an agent of the Rothschild Bank. And yes, that's a fact. Look it up. So guys, all of this stuff that's happening around us is as if there's a giant spider web that has tentacles that reach throughout all of society that we're having to deal with on a regular basis. And it's all being controlled by these central banks. And these central banks are the scourge of our planet. And I mean that very sincerely. And I've said that 100 times. I'll say it another 100 times. Until we get rid of this Federal Reserve Bank and get rid of their ability to print funny money and control us through lobbying efforts in Congress and then with these corporations that they have their controlling directorships on and interlocking corporate directorships, we're not going to be free of this. And so as long as we keep putting swamp people back in the swamp, we're not going to be free of the swamp. If you keep restocking the pond with alligators and vermin and snakes and everything else, why do you think they're not going to think that's going to be home for them also? And so we've got to understand something. If Kushner, and he is, a partner of George Soros with a $259 million hook-to-the-hip deal, what in the heck's going on in Washington right now? And why in the world haven't we been told this by the mainstream media? And again, guys, I'm the only alternative guy who's quoting Baldwin on this, because I know Baldwin, and I guarantee if Baldwin made this claim, it's absolutely important concrete. It's a fact. What do you think, Austin?
Well, it's pretty wild information, man. I mean, as soon as you said that with Soros, and we're not talking about, you know, he helped him on a car loan or a mortgage on his house. I mean, a $259 million loan for a real estate venture, that's a substantial amount of money. I mean, even for people that are in the range of Donald Trump and his family that are in the wealth of billionaires, that's a lot of money. So for him to be in cahoots with Soros like that is pretty telling. Now, granted, you have to think, though, Trump does have enormous amounts of companies. He has a lot of different business dealings. I'm not sure why, if he's his son-in-law, why he would have not gone to Trump directly and talked to Trump about investing in some type of real estate venture, or had his business help him with the loan, considering the fact that's his father-in-law and he's a billionaire. That's where I would have gone first. However, that may have happened, and he may have denied him. I don't know. That's speculation. So it's possible that Trump doesn't even know that much about it, but, man, that's I have a hard time believing he didn't know anything about his son-in-law getting in bed, essentially, with George Soros, the guy behind a lot of this stuff, funding Black Lives Matter and everything else. So, yeah, Dad, I don't know if it's getting played on both sides or if Trump's just so focused on other stuff he hasn't seen the truth with this. I'm not sure, man, but that's pretty pretty wild information. And like you said, if Chuck Baldwin put it out there, I know it's pretty factual.
It is. I've got to take a break for about 5 minutes off the show. I'm going to let you come back, Austin, and I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Roger that. I'll hold it down. Well, get into some health stuff, because we really didn't hit that a lot yesterday. I know a lot of our customers and listeners love hearing health information. Dad went into some B vitamin stuff yesterday, and I want to kind of expand on and talk about another research that's been done, has been published, and why we always talk. A lot of people ask me, what's the basic thing to start with? And I always say the ultimate multiple, or if you can afford it, the basic healthy lifestyle kit. That's the foundation of our base nutrients that we carry, that we start people on, and that we pretty much build from there if you want to go further. The ultimate multiple is our basic vitamin mineral complex. It contains all of our methylated B vitamins. Now, a review of worldwide studies has found now that add-on treatment with high doses of B vitamins can significantly reduce symptoms of schizophrenia more than any other standard treatment alone. Now, he talked about this briefly yesterday, but I want to go into detail a little bit further. The research on the effect of vitamin and mineral supplements on symptoms of schizophrenia was published in Psychological Medicine. The connection between mental health and B12 deficiency is staggering. Depression can be one of the first presenting symptoms of vitamin B deficiency. Many healthcare professionals would be shocked to learn that B12 deficiency can also cause psychosis. Lead author Joseph Furst, based at the University's Division of Psychology and Mental Health, said, looking at all the data from clinical trials of vitamin and mineral supplements for schizophrenia to date, we can see that B vitamins effectively improve outcomes for patients. Vitamin B2, B6, B9, and B12 directly impact the functioning of the methylation circle. And Dad said that yesterday, and all of our B vitamins that we carry are already methylated. That's why, in you know, all the products that we manufacture, we use methylcobalamin B12. That is a methylated B12. The body does not have to convert it. It can immediately absorb it. It doesn't have to have the conversion process through the liver like it does when you take cyanide cobalamin, which only has about a 30% effective absorption rate. Now, go on further in this, and what is the first meta-analysis carried out on this topic? They identified 18 clinical trials with a combined total of 832 schizophrenic patients. They stated that B vitamin interventions, which use higher dosages or combine several vitamins together, were consistently effective for reducing psychiatric symptoms. Now, the reason why this is so important, guys, is because a big question that we get a lot of times in email and over the phone is people call in and they're either having real hard time focusing, issues with depression, hard time keeping their mood stable. There's a lot of different factors that can impact that, like diet, blood sugar, but a huge factor that we have seen a lot of times is B vitamin deficiency. A lot of that's B12 as well. And the B complex that we use, a fully methylated, full spectrum B vitamin supplement, the ultimate multiple that I always talk about, contains all those B vitamins just in a much lower dosage because we can only get so much in the capsule form. Now, we also have the ultimate multiple powder, which actually has a little bit higher dosages because it's powder, went off to try and get into a capsule. But for people that are always trying to get their mood elevated, that kind of have a tendency to go towards more of a, you know, a down approach, not as up and active, the B complex in conjunction with the ultimate multiple is so important. That's why we have it in the basic healthy lifestyle kit, which includes the multiple, the B, the C, the D3 10,000, and the Norwegian omega 3 caps. So I just want to kind of have a quick synopsis on that, because a lot of people get confused about B vitamins, and a lot of times I don't think people are fully educated in the fact of how important B vitamins are. They're water soluble. Everybody has to understand that. They don't store in the body like omega-3 fats or other nutrients like that. They're water soluble. Your body uses them for fuel, and if it has excess, you urinate them out. So it does not stay in your body in high concentrations for very long extended periods of time. That's why it's very important to replenish the body's B vitamins on a regular basis, and that is why our B complex is so popular. 2 weeks ago, we went to Orlando to speak with a customer that's an engineer about some different stuff going on, and his son was there, and we talked to him briefly, and he said that his wife was having absolutely horrific problems with depression. I mean, horrible. They did medications, they did all types of different meds, didn't work properly, nothing ever gave her the results. Finally, they heard that going and getting on B vitamins, so they went and bought the cheapest, basically, you know, Walmart Bobo brand you can buy, and they actually got some mild relief from it. Said it was minimal, but it did. They could tell it was helping a little bit. Well, their dad, who was purchasing products from at the time, ordered the B complex form, gave it to them, basically sat on the counter for a month. They were still finishing up the other cheap vitamins with, you know, little to some gains, but not extremely noticeable. And they took, she took the B complex one day. She took a couple caps with breakfast. And the next morning, or that afternoon, I don't remember exactly, it was within like 24 hours. We're talking to, you know, his son, which this is his wife that had the issues. She took the B vitamins and she came in there the next morning. She said, for the first time in years, I actually feel alive again. That was her quote. And that is something that was really exciting to hear that for us. You know, it's great when everybody feels awesome all the time. That's our ultimate goal. But when you see people go through those slumps and then we're actually help them come up out of that and feel so much better, so much more focused, so much more mentally acute, so much more up, it's really, really exciting for us. So that's what our B vitamins do. That's why they're almost our number one selling product beside our ultimate multiple, and it's because they're so effective, they're so pure, they're so clean, and they absorb almost immediately, being the fact that they're natural methylated B vitamins. So
right.
Just want to touch base on that. Are you back there?
I am back, and I'm listening to you talk about B vitamins, and you're absolutely right. In fact, I just got an email in from Doug Hagman. He was on Coast to Coast the other night. About 1 o'clock in the morning, he said, and he was couldn't do anything. He took his B vitamins around 10 o'clock at night, and he said that he got off of Coast to Coast and he couldn't even go to sleep until like 5 o'clock because of the B vitamins. So don't take them.
That'll happen.
I told him, like, if you've got to stay up late, take a purple stick, you know, because the purple sticks will wear off after about 3 or 4 hours. Those B vitamins, they go on and on and on. So what I'll do before I do a show with Doug, if it's going to be a 3 hour show, I'll take like half a purple stick about an hour before the show, about 6 o'clock Eastern time, because it's got the green tea in it. It'll boot me back up for the show at 6, 7, 8, 9 through 10. And then by 11 o'clock, the half life of that green tea is pretty much gone. And I go back to bed and sleep like a baby with one melatonin. But if I take a B complex at 6 o'clock at night, buddy, forget it, man. You're going to have vivid dreams. You're going to be bouncing around in the bed all night. You're not going to sleep. I know I don't do it. I take it at like 9 o'clock in the morning. I'll take four of the B vitamins, four of the B complex after I have my protein shake, and then I'll take two of the B5, B6. And when I do that, boy, hang on. About 2 or 3 hours later after that gets into your system, because remember, Austin was 100% right. These are water-soluble nutrients. You flush them out of your body every single day. They're used by the mitochondria, which is the powerhouse of the cell, to cause the reactions called the Krebs cycle or the citric acid cycle, also known as glycolysis. And when you do this, when you take these vitamins, the methylated version, it bypasses going through the liver and being changed, and it's like, wow, you go, this is unbelievable. My body loves it. That's why about 35 to 45% of the population can no longer use a regular B vitamin. They get minimal results, if any results from it, because they're not methylated. Plus, they still use almost every B vitamin supplement. They use the cyanide cobalamin. Guys, we don't do that in our products. We use the methylcobalamin. We don't want to put the cyanide in there. Now, in small concentrations, that's not going to hurt you, but that's not the highest, purest form of the B vitamin you can get for the B12. So, guys, our products are the absolute best. That's why, like Austin said, it's one of our number HGH stimulate, multiple vitamins, and our B complex, and vitamin C are probably our best-selling supplements. And the reason for that is they all work. The HGH stimulate massively, massively helps to stabilize blood pressure. Plus, it really works like a natural Viagra in men without making you go blind and deaf, as if it wasn't bad enough that you had ED. Now you're blind and deaf taking other drugs like Viagra for it, which two of the side effects are blindness and deafness because it causes audio and auditory and also optic nerve degradation if you have high concentrations on that. So gosh. So that's why the HGH stimulates, where it's great for blood pressure. It also helps to stimulate human growth hormone for the pituitary gland, because we use a natural folate in there along with a bunch of other products that really help to stabilize that product. I take it every single day. it's great. It really help increase your lean muscle mass, and it will increase your strength like you won't believe in the gym. And when you stack that with the muscle blast, you actually mix them right together and drink them and throw a little magnesium in there while you're at it. We have the powdered magnesium. It's a phenomenal pre-workout drink. It really, really is. So again, we don't really do a lot of shows just on straight supplements like that, and that's not what this show is going to be, but I just wanted to cover that with you today, that Austin's 100% right. The B vitamins, if they're methylated, they're going to work. And that's why we make sure that our vitamins are all methylated. We have the highest quality nutritional supplements in the world. If we could make a better product, we would. So thank you for your support. By the way, poor gut health has now been linked to Parkinson's disease, which doesn't surprise me at all. Now let's go ahead and let's talk about this for a second. Healthy gut microbes seem to cooperate with specific genes to help reduce the risk of Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease is a progressive nervous system disorder affecting motor functioning. It comes on gradually, often beginning with barely noticeable tremors, stiffness, and the slowing of movement. However, as it progresses, the tremors get worse and motor skills become increasingly impaired. This is by Schmidt, this article. It says, gut health, a potential paradigm shift in Parkinson's disease treatment. It says the study was published in the Journal of Cell and is raising awareness about the benefits of probiotics and prebiotic therapies. Parkinson's disease is currently the second most common neurodegenerative disease in the United States. It affects around 1 million people, and 1% of the people over 60 have this. I've had so many friends, they'll come by the house often, and I'm not going to mention any names because they'd probably listen to the show, and you talk to them and you watch their hands are just trembling. And some of these people are in their 50s, some of them are in their early 60s, some of them are almost 70. In many cases, that's a symptom of Parkinson's disease. And the sad part about this is now we're starting to realize, and it's a true paradigm shift, that the gut can be actually causing a lot of this, and it could be a gut disease and not just a central nervous system disorder. The benefits of probiotics also now include lower risks of Parkinson's disease. And see, this is so important that you do this. I take my probiotics every single morning and my protein shake. And we have some of the high, I mean, ours come in the billions. In fact, we have a new one we're working on now. It's 80 billion live microbes, 80 billion per serving. I mean, this stuff is just the bomb. And I've been working on this one for like a month now, taking it in my protein shake every day. And I tell you what, it's great for intestinal health. So guys, listen to me for a second. If you've ever been on antibiotics, if you've got problems with recurring yeast infections, if you've got brain fog, a lot of that can be because of the gut. Now they're saying that the gut can also be related to Parkinson's disease. And now we've seen other studies that link gut problems to depression. So the gut has to be maintained and has to be healthy. Remember, these microbes, this gut, all of this stuff, these cells that we have in our bodies, they have DNA transmitter coils in them. That's the DNA coiled helix. And they transmit via scalar energy and waves back and forth to the brain. We're an energy field is what we operate in. And when part of our body isn't functioning properly, it doesn't put out the right energy waves. It doesn't have proper communication with the brain and other cellular structures. Our entire body functions as autonomous units that work together in a centralized nervous system, which is coordinated through the brain and through the energy field around the heart. And all of these things now we're finding out in science have to interact properly for good health to be maintained, including neurological health, colon health, depression, stay away from depression so you feel good all the time. All of these things have to coordinate and come together to work like they're supposed to. That's why at Health Master, we've got the basic healthy lifestyle program you can order. I throw some probiotics in on top of that. I take them every single day. They're in a packet. I just dump them right into my doggone protein shake. You don't even taste them, and I love it. And so it's a great, great product, and we'll be coming out with that product probably in another 2 weeks. Now, that's a pricey little thing. That's the problem, because there's 800 billion, almost a trillion live organisms in it. So it's a crazy product because of the amount of research that has to be going into this product just to keep the stuff alive this long as far as the shelf life. So we're really, really pleased with these new products that we have coming out. And I want to thank you guys for trusting us. And I mean that sincerely. I want to thank you for trusting us, for trusting me, for trusting Austin with your nutritional needs. Because if it wasn't for you guys supporting us and supporting the show like this, we wouldn't be here, guys. So thank you again for doing that for us. Austin, what's your next story, bud?
Yeah, and to add on that too, you know, a lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of these significant, just general colon health problems that are going on have a lot to do with the lack of probiotics. You know, our basic probiotic blend is like $28. Our advanced one that we have, our 100 billion formula, is like $50-something. But, you know, when it comes to your colon health, it's so important, especially when you see these things like glyphosate that directly wreck all the probiotics. And then you have another compound that I've talked about repeatedly that I still see people using on a regular basis. That would be sucralose or Splenda. Sucralose, in my opinion, is one of the most toxic artificial sweeteners to ever be released onto the mainstream market. This should have never been approved ever. It's a chlorocarbon. It's a pesticide. It's incredibly toxic to every single organ in the body. They actually put it, a chlorine atom connecting it to the sugar molecule, and when it hits hydrochloric acid, just by chance, okay, just by chance it does this, is what they say. When it hits hydrochloric acid, which is in your stomach, the chlorine atom cleaves off, breaks off from the sugar molecule, and it releases a free chlorine atom into the body. Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about chlorine. We've talked about it repeatedly on here, but any of our new listeners, chlorine is incredibly toxic. Think chlorine gas or chlorine in your swimming pool. It's releasing this right in your digestive tract, and it will kill off any and all natural probiotics or bacteria that is in your colon within a few hours. I did a whole show on this last year on the dangers of sucralose because how heavy it's used in the bodybuilding industry, and it's something that you should never put in your body. Now, in the other news as well, this is getting pretty wild now with the universities as far as their massive, massive hatred towards free speech. This just came out now from the University of Washington. A press release put out by the University of Washington's Writing Center is now stating there is no inherent standard of English, and that pressure to conform to proper American grammar standards perpetuates the system of racism. I love this. So basically what they're saying is, if you expect somebody to speak proper grammar at your job, at your business, in your class, in English Lit 1, you're basically a racist. They go on to say, linguistics and writing research has shown clearly for decades that there is no inherent standard of English. Language is constantly changing. These two facts make it very difficult to justify placing people in hierarchies or restricting opportunities and privileges because of the way people communicate in particular versions of English. The university's writing director suggests that racism has produced certain unfair standards in education. He goes on to say, listen to this, Quack. While overt racism is usually easily identified, more inclusive are microaggressions, forms of degradation which manifest on subconscious and casual levels. They go on to say, language is the bridge between ideas and actions, so how we use our words has a lot of influence on what we think and do. So what they're trying to do now is they're trying to bring this ideology of, you come to this country or you live in this country, you won't speak proper English, you won't learn proper English, you won't learn even basic English grammar, but that's okay. If somebody doesn't like that, they're a racist. If I bring somebody, and this is just a perfect example, if I bring somebody into the office and I say, hey, this is an office position, you're going to be answering phones, you're going to be talking to customers all day, I really need you to speak very clear, articulate English grammar to our customers that speak English, which is majority of them, because they want to hear proper English so they can understand you on the phone. And if they say, well, I'm not going to do that, that's racist. If you want me to speak proper English, I'm going to sue you now for being racist. This is exactly what Washington University is trying to encourage now. They want to completely break down the fabric of the American culture, and the way that has been done very significantly, at least in part, has been the English dialect, and trying to make people think if they come here from another country, there's absolutely no reason they have to speak our language or even speak it correctly whatsoever in any way, shape, or form, regardless of where you're from or if you're born here. That's something I want to kind of address today, because the universities, guys, are getting more and more liberal on a regular basis. There's another article I had here now that there hundreds of campuses across the country now are encouraging students to turn in fellow students for offensive speech. speech, and they did 230 reporting systems through the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, and found that there's actually called bias response teams now at universities all over the country, that if you say anything in class that they deem offensive or hate speech, they turn you in. Anything that involves pro-Trump or anti-Hillary, most of it's anti-left. But what's wild about it is it's not just something that it's going on at one school here, one school there. It's exploding all over the country to the point now where you can't even use the university as it was intended for, as essentially the cradle of free speech where ideologies and academics and activists could agree, disagree, or be, you know, never agree about anything. But they don't want that anymore. They want to push this leftist agenda to where anything you say that they don't like that's offensive, they want to immediately muzzle you and strip you from your First Amendment right, Dad. So it may seem like I'm hating a lot on colleges lately. I guess I kind of am, but it's because of how disgusted I am and how these universities are supposed to be education centers to really help this younger generation grow and learn more is what they're originally designed for. Now we know it has nothing to do with that. It's simply an indoctrination academy to teach them or force them into submission to follow the leftist agenda, Dad.
That's why I recommend Christian universities for graduate programs, undergraduate programs. Southeastern University here, close to us, Lakeland, Florida. Great Christian university. There's some things I don't care about it, but there's some great things I love about it. Same thing with all schools. Liberty University, Jerry Falwell School, great school. Regent University, you know, up there in Virginia, Pat Robertson School, great law program, great MBA program. There's all kinds of good programs that are available out there in Christian colleges, and you need to support those guys because a lot of them really, you know, having a hard time with their funding. But you got to also remember too, in some cases when they bring these leftist professors into these Christian universities, they also bring their leftist ideology with them. I mean, a lot of people at these local universities that we've talked about, they end up voting for Hillary. They're basically Democrats. They're basically George Soros promoters. They're Black Lives Matter people, and these guys are professors at colleges that are Christians. So what I always do is I tell my kids, in fact, hopefully Harrison, your brother Harris Austin, will be going to a Christian law school, either Regent or Pepperdine or Liberty University. And so what I'm hoping is that, you know, he'll be able to bring his values with him that we've taught him. And if he has a professor that wants to be a liberal, he needs to call him out in class and say, hey, look, you know, we don't agree with this. You know, why are you here? Why are you teaching us this stuff? This isn't right. See, that's the thing college students need to learn, is that when you finally get to college and you start learning stuff, especially if you go to graduate school, you've got to be willing to have a dialogue with a professor in class. I mean, I used to do this on exams. I would take an exam in graduate school and I would say, okay, here's the answer you want. And I would answer the question. And I'll say, now, this is what I think the real answer is, but this is not to be graded as part of my coursework because I've already completed telling you what you want to hear. And I would put the real answer down. A lot of times, the professors give me +4, +5, +10 because I would try to make sense as far as how I saw the reality, what they were telling us, and what their true reality of the world was. I mean, until you own your own business or own your own company, you have no idea that somebody has to pay to take out the trash. You have no idea that somebody's got to clean the toilets. You have no idea that, you know, you got to paint your facility on a regular basis and have major housekeeping come in and clean it up. Somebody's got to pay for all that stuff. You have no idea that the fact that you have a utility bill that's due every month, and if you don't pay that utility bill, they're going to turn your power off. See, and when you start running your own business and running your own company, you start realizing very quickly that a lot of the stuff that you were taught in school and graduate school or wherever, they didn't teach you this stuff. They didn't teach you the basics of how to manage or to run a corporation. So you learn a lot of stuff on the hard way, as far as the school of hard knocks, they say, or the school of experience, you can call it that also. But guys, listen to me for a second. It's like this. If you've got a problem with high blood pressure, you know, chances are, if you learned how to eat right, you'd not have a problem with high blood pressure anymore. You know, all these different types of things happen because you haven't learned them or you were taught incorrectly by these things. Anyhow, let me go ahead. Let's jump off this topic for a bit. This is an interesting article. And this is by Carl Herman. And it says, confused about the National Security Advisor Flynn's resignation after CIA illegal spying leak, partial timeline. Flynn tweeted about elite pedophilia. Senator Schumer threatened CIA getting back at Trump. Flynn repeated lies for illegal war on Iran. Trump escalates fake news rhetoric on corporate media. Want truth without 0.01 deep state arrest? They're not going to give it to you. And what was interesting, and the point I'm making about this is, on November the 2nd, 2016, Fleet tweeted, you decide. The New York Police Department blows whistle on new Hillary emails money laundering, sex crimes with children, etc. Must read. Clinton and former senior advisor tweeted this reference back at Flynn after his resignation. What goes around comets around. There have been 1,500 sex trafficking and pedophilia arrests since Trump's presidency. I'll give you the numbers here in a second. On January the 2nd, Senate Minority Leader Schumer calls Trump really dumb for questioning a factless intelligence report claiming Russia hacked the 2016 election. Okay. February the 1st, Flynn puts Iran on notice regarding several historic and current easily proved lies similar to previous lies on Afghanistan and Iraq. On February 17, Trump tweets, fake news, following New York Times, NBC News, ABC, CBS, CNN, is not my enemy, is the enemy of the American people. Corporate media is easily documented as fake news. These are the machinations of a U.S. rogue empire or deep state, as Melissa Skype sharply documents in the Daily Sheeple. Now, what's interesting here is we have to understand something. We heard for the first time in mainstream news, alternative news, the week before the election about sex trafficking of children, soul cooking, satanic services, ceremonies, and all the stuff these elite people are involved in. Now, when I say these elite people, I don't mean they're better than us, but these are the guys that we put in charge to, quote unquote, tell us what we can and can't do. This is systemic. Probably 30% of Congress is involved in this sick stuff, and it goes through Democrats as well as Republicans. And I've talked about this over and over. This goes back to satanic ritual ceremonies, satanic ritual sacrifice, the drinking of blood, the slaughtering of the innocents, the raping and pedophilia of children. Now, guys, I don't like talking about this stuff because it's so unbelievably negative, but we have to understand what we heard the last week before the election when Hillary Clinton basically knew she wasn't going to win, and Steve Pachinik came on and said that, hey, look, we're not going to allow her to win. The FBI has decided she's not going to be able to hack this election. We're not going to allow this to happen because of all this stuff. Now we've had over 1,500 arrests. Let me give you some numbers. January 27th. 42 were arrested in Tennessee for a sex sting. January 29th, 474 arrested in an L.A. sex ring bust. By the way, they haven't released the names of the people yet who they busted on that. There were 28 children involved in this, and 55 were saved. On January the 29th, 38 human trafficking arrests in San Diego. February the 5th, 108, I'm just giving you the big numbers, 108 arrested in Illinois. 29 of whom were actual traffickers. February, these are children trafficking now. February the 5th, 178 arrested in a Texas sting, including a noted sports agent. February the 5th, 750 arrested and 92 rescued in Super Bowl Sunday interstate rescue. I mean, unbelievable. Okay. February the 14th, 16 people arrested in sex trafficking stings at Detroit Auto Show. And a lot of this is underage children, guys. This is some sick stuff. February the 14th, Pope Grady Judd, this is our county where we live, he announced there were 42 child pornography related arrests here on February the 14th in our county here in Florida. And you need to read this article again. This whole article is very, very to the point. Let me give you the name of this guy again. It's called Carl Herman, and it's basically confused about the National Security Advisor Flynn's resignation after CIA illegal spying. Go ahead and read this, because I want you to get the full brunt of this media onslaught that's coming against Trump. 1,500 people that have been arrested. But guys, you can't separate this from what's going on. You can't pretend like this isn't real. You can't say, hey, these guys are doing this and we got to pretend like it's not happening. No, these guys are really doing this and we have to stand against it. This is the reason, I'm telling you this right now, that Hillary Clinton wasn't elected. This is the reason the deep state did not force her name through and get her elected. That and the power of prayer, and I've talked about this repeatedly on the show. They don't want to be exposed. These guys are like a bunch of cockroaches running around here in Florida in the summertime and at nighttime, and they don't want you shine a bright light on them. They want to run away. That's what these guys are like. These are the lowest form of vermin and scum on the planet. These are the guys that sex traffic little children and sodomize them. These guys are bad, bad, sicko, satanic news. That's who these people are. We've got to stand pat, and we've got to figure out how to get these guys out of our government, out of our legislators, out of our legislation. We have to get them out of here. We have to find out who these people are, and we have to fully expose them. Personally, I think that's why Flynn said what he said. That's why he was taken down, because he was going after these child sex rings. And guys, remember, some of these kids are 4 and 5 years old. This is not something that's even, this is horrible stuff. And this is some sick, sick stuff. And guys, this is not okay with me. This is not okay with God. It goes right back to the Old Testament, right back to Druidic worship, right back to Baal worship. That's where all of this stuff comes from, and they're a bunch of stinking perverts, and I can't stand them because they want to take the energy of the innocence and feed it to these interdimensional entities, these fallen angels, and this is what this whole thing's about. We've talked about it repeatedly on the show. This was what's going on. And guys, until we clean up this swamp, this nasty swamp, and we need to find out why Kushner thinks it's be okay to be in bed with George Soros at $259 million and how nobody's supposed to pay any attention to that. That's complete and total nonsense. And he needs to be replaced immediately if this article from Chuck Baldwin is accurate, which I believe that it is. What's your next story, Oz? What do you think about this?
No, you're absolutely right. There's no question about it. Also, too, now, here's a leaked report from German security authorities. It's now revealed that almost 6 million more migrants from countries around the Mediterranean are trying to get ready to enter Europe. The report, which was obtained by the German tabloid Bild, claims that there are at least 5.95 million migrants in countries around the Mediterranean who are seeking to enter Europe. In Turkey alone, the report estimates there to be 2.93 million migrants who have set their sights on the benefits of becoming an asylum seeker in Western European country like Germany. Libya, according to the report, is presently home to 1.2 million migrants who want to get into Europe. Last year, a record-breaking number of migrants crossed the sea to Europe, with most of them arriving in Italy. The Italian government has vowed to crack down on illegal migration this year, but the country has seen little slowdown in numbers arriving so far. The German security services also had an estimate that there could be up to another 720,000 migrants in Jordan who want to come in to Europe. So this thing just got started a year and a half ago, guys. It just got started. This is something that they're going to do. And understand, what they've done right now has been horrific for Europe and Germany and Sweden and all these countries. But in some cases, in some areas, they still may be able to hold on to a lot of their heritage, their European roots, and their European culture. However, if they bring in another 6 million migrants in another year or two into Europe, it is going to be very, very difficult, especially when you start looking at the breeding schedule of a lot of these Middle Easterners, where they have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus kids in some instances, and one family with a few wives. If that's the case, if you start looking at 5, 6, 7, 8 million migrants coming in within a few years, those numbers are literally going to go astronomical within just a decade as far as with children and the amount of people that they produce and their families. So this is just getting started over in Europe. Also, too, in Florida and in Maine now, they're again trying to ban candy and soda for food stamp recipients through the SNAP program. Both Maine and Florida have previously attempted to restrict these kinds of foods that can be purchased with SNAP benefits, but both are at it again, hoping to restrict the purchase of sugary snacks and drinks of those state benefits. Republican Representative Ralph Muslow in Florida is leading the way in attempting to pull the non-nutrient items from the shopping carts. He stated, "The fact that we're allowing junk food as the most common purchase item leads to non-nutritional states and diseases. I don't want the government to get in the nitty-gritty of our lives, but I also don't want government making us sick or allowing us to become sick." He has filed House Bill 593, restricting items for SNAP, which would be under candy or soda in Florida. Part of the reasoning comes from the projection that by 2030, 60% of those in Florida will be obese. Maine also echoes these concerns, stating it is the heaviest state in New England and that the state typically pays $700 million annually on health care costs related to obesity. The states also argue that although it may seem cruel to monitor how the poor spend their money, the government should not be subsidizing poor nutritional choices. The publication Town Hall stated that according to FDA, those who are receiving assistance often spend more money on sugary drinks and candy than those who do not. The New York Times also commented that taxpayers are keeping up the soda industry by way of allowing those receiving benefits to use them for non-nutritious drinks. Now, if you guys remember, last year I went into detail and I had a, you know, couple people that were kind of irritated with me, but I really could have cared less because it's the truth. Food stamp recipients spent nearly 10% of the $74 billion budget last year on sweetened beverages such as soft drinks, energy drinks, and more, making up 9.3% of the total program spending, the number one purchased item. Now, a total of 43 million people receiving food stamps in the U.S. Now, just over 5% of those total were spent on just sodas, considered nutritiously worthless and a big contributor to obesity. They go on to say in here, Marlon Nestle, a New York University professor of nutrition, said, in this sense, SNAP is a multi-billion dollar taxpayer subsidy of the soda industry. There you go, guys. The food and beverage industry has spent millions opposing the changes to this program. So you start looking at what is being spent. You do the math on this, guys. Last year, roughly $3.6 billion of the SNAP program, $3.6 billion was spent on just sodas. And I know you're not going to hear me ever sit here and justify the government coming in and controlling aspects of our lives. However, the people that are trying to argue against this have to understand that we are not paying tax dollars in to subsidize people that need help from the government so they can go buy Snicker candy bars and Diet Cola on a regular basis. The fact that the SNAP program spent almost $4 billion last year on soda is egregious to me. The same thing I said about it last year, and this is something that has to be changed. I also absolutely have no problem with people that are on SNAP benefits and food stamps and all the welfare being drug tested in order to receive those benefits, Dad. What do you think about Florida trying to do that and push this through again?
You know, I've got mixed emotions about all of this stuff. I mean, first of all, your life's pretty bad if you're on food stamps to start with. I mean, you're not really be able to feed yourself. Number two, you know, the Bible basically says, you know, that you kind of just let people, you know, be where they need to be. In Proverbs, it talks about them, you know, people that are perishing, et cetera, whose lives are horrible. I think what we need to do is give them alternatives to this. I don't think that giving them non-nutritive foods is anything helpful to them. Now, but this is the same thing. You know, I've had a lot of people work for the company over the years, and they don't eat right. They don't eat clean. They drink sodas or smoke cigarettes or whatever, and they don't really care about their health. A lot of these people, again, they don't care about their health, and they're just going to get sodas, or they're addicted to high fructose corn syrup, and they don't even know it. Now, personally, you know, I believe that they should be careful with what they allow them to buy. I believe that. I mean, like cigarettes and alcohol should be completely off the list. I don't know if they are or not. But the reality is this, you know, it's kind of like trying to legislate morality. If you try to say to somebody, you know, you really need to go to church on Sunday, and if you don't want to go to church on Sunday, I'm not going to give you any money. I mean, okay, well, they're probably not going to go to church on Sunday, and you're not going to give them any money. So I have mixed emotions about this. I mean, I wish everybody would eat healthy. I wish that everybody would not drink sodas. I wish that everybody wouldn't eat white bread. But people are going to eat white bread and they're going to drink sodas because they've been brainwashed into believing that those things are okay. So personally, a lot of times the reason that people don't buy healthy stuff on their SNAP benefits or on their budget is because it's more expensive. For instance, a loaf of Ezekiel bread probably runs $3.50 a loaf now, $4 a loaf. You can buy a loaf of Wonder Bread on sale for the day old bread special probably for less than a dollar. And people are just in a situation where they don't have a lot of money. Now, the problem that you have when you have people drinking a lot of sodas, you massively increase the risks of adult onset diabetes and all those other different types of problems and, you know, obesity, which causes a massive increase in heart disease, you know, and in cancer. So you have this whole situation which we're funding and subsidizing the soda industry and the candy industry to allow people to get sick, to go on Medicaid, to try to get treated for the diseases that are being caused by this type of food. So it's a complicated issue. Now, in the perfect world, I would say, no, absolutely not. You're not getting sodas. You're not getting white bread. You're not getting candy. You're going to have to buy something better than this, or we're not going to pay for it. But they're just going to probably often buy the junk they want to buy anyhow with their own other money and pay their user SNAP dollars for buying the stuff that they're allowed to buy. So it's not like you're going to stop it. So it's a complicated issue. But yes, in a perfect world, I completely agree with you, Austin, and they should not be allowed to buy any of that stuff. But people are addicted to white bread. They're addicted to high fructose corn syrup. They're addicted to all kinds of health products that cause all kinds of health problems. And it's not going to end. It's like you said with the Splenda earlier. That's a chlorocarbon. It has chlorine in it. I mean, it's a pesticide. It destroys intestinal flora. So it's a big mess. One more quick article here, then I'm going to let you close up. This is an article from Zero Hedge. And it says there's something weird going on. This is Jeff Snyder on the global dollar shortage. The first time we explained that one of the biggest risks facing the world in which the dollar is the reserve currency is a global United States dollar shortage was in the mid-2009. At that time, the IMF calculated just ahead of the financial crisis that major European banks, U.S. dollar funding gap had reached $1.2 trillion by mid-2007. This is because of derivatives, guys. Until the onset of the crisis, European banks had met this need by tapping the interbank market and by borrowing from central banks and used FX swaps to convert domestic currency into dollars. The IMF then extrapolated that there were all liabilities of non-interest banks treated as a short-term funding, and the upper bound estimated would be $6.5 trillion. All of this is because of the derivatives and the gambling in the markets and the getting rid of the program that we've had since it'll come to me in a second. But then Snyder goes on to say, he goes, the dollar shortage isn't so much the shortage per se, the fact that the symptom of what is a inherently unstable system. He notes that the reason banks are withdrawing from the system is that it's just no longer tenable. See, this is why they're going to the one world currency and the one world basically digital currency that they want to bring in. The shortage of the M1 money supplies in all these countries and the shortage of the U.S. dollars is because of the gambling. We've got to bring back, what was that thing they used back in that Clinton got rid of, Austin? I know the name of it.
Glass-Steagall.
Glass-Steagall. That's why we got to bring Glass-Steagall back. You know, we started gambling now at 40-to-1 ratios on the dollars. If you have a dollar in the bank, you can loan out $40 and gamble on that on top of the derivatives. Whenever you do this, you have a massive shortage of the M1, or the money in circulation. And again, this is what they're doing to bring in this new world currency. And this author has written a really good article on this, explaining it from the charts, what's going on while we have a massive shortage of liquidity and what it's going to do. Guys, God bless you. I love you guys. Thanks for getting your supplements from us. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for just being with us and being part of our family. And we just appreciate you. And we hope you understand that we don't get it all right all of the time, but we do the best we possibly can. And every once in a while, we've got to do like I did at the beginning of the show and say, hey, this really probably wasn't a good source to use yesterday, so forgive me for that. I appreciate you. I love you. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless you. I'll write up the summary, Austin. It's all yours.
Absolutely. Yes, guys, we appreciate everything. Got a lot of emails again this week, as always. We thank you for all of them, all the positive support. Also, too, check out the website, healthmasters.com. The Magnesium Body Balm is on sale, as I mentioned yesterday, for over 10% off. Great product. Sign up for our free weekly newsletter if you want. Get our free updates on the show, links to that. And a lot of big stuff going on right now. We're going to be updating the website over the next couple weeks, getting some new stuff that makes it a little bit easier and user-friendly. We've been taking different votes from people and customers that have been giving in their opinions. So we appreciate all that, guys. You need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.